I passed my citizenship test and interview in mid-March, just as the coronavirus pandemic hit. The immigration officer who interviewed me warned me not to get into any trouble. You're not a citizen until you take the oath. He extended his hand to shake mine. I panicked, thinking of the NPR report I heard in the car in which public health officials urged people to bump elbows. But I did it anyway. It seemed like a minor risk compared to upsetting the officer who held my future in his hands. Then I rushed to the bathroom to wash mine. A week later, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services announced it was halting its in-person operations, and I figured I wouldn't be pledging allegiance or voting anytime soon. But then in May, the ceremony invitation arrived at my mother's house in Austin. I figured, okay, I guess it's on, and I'll go, even if it means putting my health at risk. As an immigrant, you know the United States doesn't wait for you. Instead, you wait for the United States to closely scrutinize your life. It's why the citizenship application asks you nearly 100 questions. Have you ever been arrested or involved in prostitution? Are you associated with a gang or communism? Have you been a habitual drunkard? I shared the news of the ceremony with a few of my friends. I told them I was anxious about attending during the pandemic. One texted back, "It's seriously a test. How bad do you want to be an American?" I remembered all the times I longed for this moment as someone undocumented, wondering what would happen to my family if we were ever caught in the wrong place at the wrong time by ICE. The many times I believed I wouldn't be able to attend college because of my status, or the time I thought I wouldn't be able to return home to Austin from Mexico because my green card had disappeared while I was studying in Mexico City. That was also the first time I had seen my extended family since moving to the U.S. with my mother at the age of 3. It turns out, undocumented students can go to college. I attended UT Austin. And in my senior year of high school, I became a permanent resident thanks to a program for immigrant minors who are abandoned by one or both parents. This is what later allowed me to apply for citizenship, and my mom is now on a pathway to citizenship too. A day before the ceremony, I went to pick up the oath invitation at my mom's house. My family greeted me with flowers, my favorite Mexican meal, chiles rellenos, and lasagna, because my two U.S.-born brothers have a different palate. I read through the formal invitation from USCIS at the dinner table, and the fear returned. The notice asked if anything had changed since my interview, if I had gotten in trouble with the law, including traffic violations. I had just gotten my first speeding ticket earlier that week, driving to Laredo, where I now live. My mom and friends assured me it would be fine, but I wasn't sure. At the USCIS field office, I nervously showed the immigration officer my ceremony notice and explained I had a pending ticket. He told me to pay it when possible and let me in. I breathed again, and I felt silly for crying the night before. I then joined about a dozen others, all of us in face masks, in a waiting room. We were signaled to take seats that were marked 6 feet apart. No family and friends were allowed, we didn't get tiny US flags to wave around, and we weren't greeted with a video from the president. We raised our right hands as the immigration officer read the oath and asked us if we agreed. We all said, "I do." These ceremonies usually last at least an hour. This one lasted less than 5 minutes. Outside, some of my new fellow citizens took pictures with their families. I asked mine not to come because of the coronavirus, so I took a quick selfie and let my family and friends know it had finally happened. The relief was dizzying. But I thought about the estimated 60,000 asylum seekers waiting in Mexico for a shot at legal entry into the US. I thought about the more than 600,000 dreamers. And I thought about the hundreds of people who attended the same citizenship clinic I did in Austin the previous fall. Young and old, we just wanted to finally belong. The next day, I drove home to Laredo. I had to get back to work. reporting on the complicated relationship between the country of my birth and the only country I have ever known.